Titus 2, verses 3 through 5 read, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host. I'm a pastor here, Pastor Bryce. And today we are continuing our discussion of family, as we have been all this quarter. We talked about fathers last week and that primary command given to fathers not to provoke their children. This week, we're talking about mothers. Next week, we'll talk about children. But in order to talk about mothers, I realize I need a mother in here. And the most mothery mother I know is my own wife.
No. Listen, Michaela. Everybody, I told him there are so many other mothers who are more qualified to talk about this.
There are other mothers around, but you know, this also worked well for scheduling because we live together, so here we are.
Sorry, everyone.
You were doing it. And you are a very mothery mother because we've got five kids.
I've got kids, so I qualify.
You certainly qualify as a mom. You stay at home with them and invest in them, and our kids are 6 years old down. And so there's a lot of mothering going on. I've titled this discussion today, "Mothers, Embrace Your Calling." And I do want to start by talking about motherhood as a calling or a vocation. I know that for some mothers, the calling to motherhood felt very natural. There are some people who, for whatever reason, wiring God's design, even if they hadn't known Christ before, maybe always looked forward to motherhood. And then when they finally became a mother, maybe this is you who are listening, became a mother and just loved it. It's what you had longed for since you were little. But I also know that's not everybody's story either, because people are designed differently. So for others, it is kind of a different story. So I thought we'd start by just asking you, Michaela, I do know the answer to this, but for the benefit of our listeners, how did you grow up thinking about motherhood, and what was that adjustment like when you became a mom?
Well, I grew up in a very large family, so I have been kind of a second mom to the second half of the kids in our family.
So you were first girl in your family.
I was the first girl, number five, and there were eight kids after me. So my younger siblings kind of look up to me, and I still feel like I kind of mother them a little bit. But I don't know. I guess growing up, I just thought I kind of got to do it as a kid. And, you know, I just didn't really care to do it again. It's a lot of work. My parents did the best that they could with what they had resource-wise and spiritually. They did not have a good community, didn't go to a great church, didn't have great theology, and so forth. But I just, even as a young girl, just recognized it's very difficult. Even just logistically, traveling around, getting kids where they need to go, feeding everybody, clothing everybody, getting them all the things they need, school, whatever decisions you make about school, school is something you have to do, and homework and training, disciplining. I mean, I just recognized when I was young, that's very difficult. And so I kind of thought, you know, I've already done it, so I don't know that I want to do it again, because it just was a lot of sacrifice, and I really felt the weight of my younger siblings, like caring for them and their safety and things like that. So, and then I really had a passion for missions, and in my wrong thinking, I kind of just thought, you know, there are already enough people in the world who don't know Jesus. Why would I make more? And, you know, that's so wrong, but you have to appreciate just the sincerity. I really did. So just coming from that, God really started doing a lot in my own heart, revealing to me just how I thought about family in a very wrong way when we were first dating and engaged. Because you really challenged me in my thinking about it and in a very kind and loving way. Bryce had me look up all the verses in the Bible about family and God's heart for family. And then he looked up the opposite about, you know, I don't even remember exactly what you tried to.
Well, my introduction to this, what you were going through at the time was maybe we'd been dating several weeks, maybe. And I mean, we only dated 3 months before we engaged. So it was kind of accelerated anyways. But so we'd been dating maybe a month. And we're sitting out in the parking lot of the church before or after some event. And you said, listen, I just have to be honest with you. I'm never having any kids. And I thought, well, that kind of came out of left field there. But I'm sure we can talk about, I'm sure there's something behind that. And we can talk about that. And that is what we did is you looked up all the passages because you gave me a reasoning of like, there's a lot of lost people in the world. And I said, you look up all the passages of God's value, so why we maybe should have kids, and then I will genuinely do my best to make a go look up passages that would support your point of view. And that's what we did.
And it really was shocking to me how often, especially in the Old Testament, God rewarded people for doing what was right and what pleased him by giving them children. And so I had to stop and really pray through and ask God, what do you really think about that? Because it seems like if you would reward someone with children, that you must really love children and have a high value on people having children. And so that really began for me a change in my thinking about family and having kids one day. And so then fast forward to being married and thinking about having kids. When do we start? I mean, we actually had a conversation that we were like, you know, maybe we should wait a little bit before we have kids. And then in the next few days, I was like, I'm not feeling good. You know, maybe I should take a pregnancy test. Take it. Pregnant.
I was already that. Pregnant. That's wonderful. God's like, yeah, have that. Go ahead. Make that decision.
Yeah.
It's already made.
Yeah. So we celebrated our 1 year anniversary, and then I had a baby the next month. And, you know, it was very hard for me. I mean, I think just going from where I was before I didn't think I was going to get married, didn't think I was going to have kids, and I was totally okay with that. And then now I'm married and I have a kid, and our first child was very difficult. He had an allergy to milk. He cried all the time, and that's not an exaggeration. He threw up all the time. I mean, I barely put clothes on him because he just threw up all over himself all the time. And so then I'm kind of starting this this season of motherhood, and it's very difficult for me. And I'm trying to wrestle through, God, I know you're calling me to this, but this isn't what I feel gifted in any capacity. This isn't what I really genuinely want to be doing. And so thus began just a lot of wrestling. I did some biblical counseling and was really greatly helped by that, just to try to help me be able to recognize what does God value? What does walking with God look like? Because this, he's called me to this, so I have to be able to glorify him and honor him in whatever circumstance he puts me in. And it really, starting out, it really felt impossible. It was very difficult. So, I mean, that was almost 7 years ago now, which is crazy. God has been faithful. God has been so faithful to grow me. And I'm not where I was when we first started. And that is really a miracle.
I mean, because you also uniquely brought into marriage a real delight in things like traveling and appreciated some of the freedoms of singleness. I mean, even 1 Corinthians 7 talks about. And so I think that move to the first child was a pretty large sacrifice. I mean, it is for everyone, but I do think you felt that pretty strongly. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't have those kinds of freedoms that you had enjoyed before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 7 years, I mean, you have embraced motherhood, even though it's been a challenge. I think I've just appreciated watching that transition from sitting in the truck saying, no kids, to then a softening as we study scripture, like, okay, I'm open, to like, let's wait, but no, you're pregnant, to then having our first, who was hard, and then moving to where we are now. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But that is certainly a measure of godliness in you, that first sacrifice and the many following sacrifices that you've really come to embrace more those sacrifices and to love your kids, which I think is awesome to see.
I mean, by God's grace, through his word, by the power of the Spirit, that is it. I mean, I think back on the last 7 years and I just am amazed at how faithful God has been to use his word to really challenge me and grow me.
Well, I was trying to think, so that's the calling of motherhood. And as I was trying to think of what specifically scripture commands mothers to do, you know, there are commands in scripture, like in Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21, that are directed to fathers. And like we've talked about previously, that Greek word fathers can mean parents, but it probably means fathers there. So fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And a similar thing in Colossians 3. So it's pretty clear for fathers. I mean, there's a focus on don't provoke your kids. And also, of course, you bring them up. To children, it's also really clear, you know, Ephesians 6:1, quoting Exodus 20, verse 12, that children are to honor, and then Ephesians 6:1 says that means obey when you're in the home. So that's clear too. So fathers, mm-hmm. don't provoke, but bring up. Children, obey your parents. You know, and then I thought, well, what's the command for moms? It doesn't directly address moms. Yeah. But the best that I could find is in Titus 2, the passage I started this podcast with, where it's actually a command to older women, encouraging them to train younger women in certain things. These are presumably younger women who are married with young children. And the older women are to train the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, work at home, and especially those love your children, which is one word in the Greek, philotechnos. Philos is, you know, love. Technon is child. So wives are supposed to be a philotechnos, a lover of their children. And oikos is home, erkon is work. And so also a worker at home. Those two ideas, lover of your children, worker at home. To me, that's kind of like mothers do this. So I thought we'd just talk real briefly about those two aspects. And that first one then is philotechnos, lover of children. You're to be a lover of your children. Now, like we said, there is this God-given affection for one's children in really every mother, maybe stronger in some than others. But even for the mother who most loves her children, that affection will wax and wane and has to be fostered. So my question for you is, how do you foster a love for your children in yourself?
So I think that when you say like that God-given love that you just have for your kids, when you say that, are you thinking about like, at night when we're talking about the funny things our kids say, and you know,
I'm just thinking maternal affection, like most moms, unbelievers as well, mm-hmm. there's this attachment. Part of that is even chemical, mm-hmm. But there's this attachment for your own children that you have.
Just generally,
yeah.
Yeah. So then how do you foster a love for your children when they're not easy to love?
That's the question, yeah. Yeah, in not so many words, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think it probably could be fostered in a lot of different ways. I think it will have to be purposeful. It'll have to be intentional. Especially if your children are getting a little bit older and you're really having to learn how to parent and train and teach. And your children are sinful and they don't always respond to you the way that you would like them to, or even the way biblically they should. The way that I specifically have been trying to foster a love for my kids, and let's see, I started this last June, I think last June. I started memorizing 1 Corinthians 13 again and trying to meditate on it, because I was finding myself just really struggling with anger towards my children, and not even necessarily like outbursts of anger, but just like simmering in my heart because I'm frustrated that they're not responding to me, or they're not submitting when they need to be, or they're not obeying, or just, you know, selfishly, just some things that I find annoying, you know? And so I really started memorizing, love is patient and kind. And, you know, I found that that's really as far as I needed to go. And I have really benefited from, like, throughout the day, often when I'm talking with my kids and I'm feeling that anger or frustration, like, or even annoyance, like, to think in my mind, love is patient and kind. And then to think about, what would that look like right now? Like, if Jesus were here with me right now, what would that look like? What would he show me? What kind of love would he show me? And that has been so challenging for me, because I've realized how selfish I am and how much my frustration and my annoyance or my anxiety, like, all of those are really just based out of my selfish expectations, or that I want things to go my way, or I have certain, you know, tallies in my mind almost of, I'm loving you like this, so you should love me by responding like this. And it's like, that's setting yourself up for failure, because that's, number one, not how love works biblically. And so it's been really helpful, because it's really caused me to think about Christ, and that's a kind of love that's sacrificial, self-denying, for your children's benefit kind of love. And that does not come naturally. So if you want to foster a love for your children like that, that means you're going to need to go to God's Word. That means you're going to need to pray and ask God to help you believe it, believe that God loves you like that, help you be able to express that kind of love to them. It's a supernatural thing. And so you have to have the power of the Spirit working in you to foster it, to do it, to show it.
Oh, that's well said. Well, loving children, that's one of the parts of the call of motherhood, like you're talking about.
And I also think, you know, you were talking about fathers and they have a clear command, children have a clear command, mothers. Is part of that too, that mothers kind of submit and follow the husbands and the fathers in whatever they're training the children. If they're taking that leadership role in the family, then part of the reason there doesn't need to be a super clear command there is because you kind of take your cues from the husband and the father who's...
Probably true, because at Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Although it's primarily the husband's role, but obviously he can't do that by himself. I mean, he can in certain single parent situations, but God's design was that that would be supplemented, assisted by the wife. Yeah, I think that's true. So you have lover of children there that you've pretty well described. I like that use of 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, that's helpful, practically how you love your children. It also talks about in Titus 2 that older women are to train the younger women to be workers at home. And that's another one of those things that can be controversial, because today there are many wives who work outside the home. And we won't discuss that in depth. Find some godly people to talk to you about that if that's something you're thinking about. The only thing I'll say about that is it's not inherently wrong that someone, mm-hmm. that a wife would have a job outside the home. I think Proverbs 31. Mm-hmm. Maybe it looks a little different in that culture, but she's very industrious. She's bringing in an income for her family. It's very family focused, mm-hmm. but she's selling stuff in the market. So, but regardless, with that being said, so that's not inherently wrong. But I think what is clear at the same time is a passage like Titus 2 here makes clear that even if a wife is working outside the home, you see this in Proverbs 31 as well, she still has a priority within the home that is different in some ways than the husband's. I mean, even the curse is that the husband will toil and eat bread by the sweat of his brow. And that is specifically to the man to do that. And the wife has her own pain. She will give birth. And this home team book that we've been reading, I appreciated on his chapter on husbands the other day, he was talking about how the wife can't give up her part of the curse to the husband. He just can't experience the pain of childbirth the way she can. He said, therefore, the husband shouldn't be putting this on his wife, meaning the husband should be the primarily concerned with providing for the family. That doesn't preclude the possibility of the wife also bringing income. It does mean the husband shouldn't be putting that huge burden and expectation on his wife. That shouldn't be coming from the husband, like, you've got to work so we're double income. Mm-hmm. But if a wife is gifted for it and has the capacity and desire to benefit her family by working outside the home, that's okay. But still, there is this focus for a mother, because where are we getting this from? Workers at home. Mm-hmm. Work. That's not something commanded of husbands, but it is something commanded of mothers. Not commanded of fathers, but of mothers, that they be a worker at home and have this priority on children, husband. So I thought I would just ask you to get started here. What does working at home look like for you as a mother?
Well, I cooked dinner tonight.
An excellent dinner that even our kids ate.
And I do a lot of laundry. We have 5 kids, so there is a lot of laundry.
The closest thing to infinite in this mortal realm is laundry.
Yes. Yeah. But I also cut down a tree with a chainsaw today.
That's true. Yeah, you did.
So I
Proverbs 31.
I like to work at home. I see it as just a place where I have the opportunity to cultivate and take care of and use my creativity to be able to benefit our family.
No, well said. And like we said, you are a registered nurse in the mm-hmm. state of Indiana. And so you could be working to do that. We made the decision when we got married. Part of that was because you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis kind of right out the gate. So that put us to consider.
I wasn't going overseas, which was the primary reason for me in my mind of getting my license.
Yep. So we decided you'll just stay home invest in the home, which is what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask this one last question on the same topic, on the same topic of worker at home. You know, mothering, this is redundant. If you're a mother, you already know this, but it's not always a rewarding task immediately. And it can be tempting to turn away from mothering to something else that feels more fulfilling. That's one of those draws to work outside of the house that would not be healthy, to get away from mothering. I was just going to ask, is this a temptation that you've felt yourself? And if it is, how do you fight that? And how do you embrace your call as a mother?
Hmm. Well, yes. I'd say, especially considering what we talked about at the very beginning of this, I think I have really struggled through these last 7 years, really trying to embrace my role, trying to find gratitude in it, and also kicking against the goad because it's just not what I would personally prefer. It doesn't really give you any immediate results. It's not always very rewarding, or even, you know, personally fulfilling at this time. And so I think, and I know the Lord has gifted me specifically in other ways, and I love to do creative things. I love to be meeting with people and counseling, biblical counseling. There are other ways that I would really love for God to be using me. And so really having to come to submit myself to what God has called me to, because I think even as you said, you know, you said something about something else that feels more fulfilling. It does feel like something else could be more fulfilling. Like, there have been times where I've been tempted, like, I really need to get a job. I would really love to work as a nurse. Partially, we could use the extra money. Partially, because I'd like to have an adult conversation without being interrupted by a child. You know, and I mean, underneath, it's just selfish. It's just selfish. It's just me trying to grasp for anything that would feel fulfilling, because I don't feel fulfilled in this motherhood role, as some of you may have that feeling. I don't know. I don't know it. But I do think that as I've really, especially in the last year, God has really done a work in my own heart of humbling me enough to really be able to say, whatever God is calling me to, that is what will be most fulfilling. And being able to step back and have a bigger picture of what God is doing, you know, because sometimes in motherhood, you kind of feel like this is what it's going to be forever. And that can be discouraging if it's not something that you love to do naturally. And being able to step back and just think about the fact that God had called me to singleness at a time, then God called me to marriage, now God's called me to motherhood. There will be a time where probably my children will not be in the home anymore. There will maybe be a time where I will not have you alive. There will just be different seasons and different times. And so God is calling me right now in this season as a mother to embrace this role, not as the ultimate role, but just to embrace this role because God's called me to it, and seek out how to glorify Him and honor Him and grow in my understanding of who He is and what He's like, and to really find still that fulfillment not in motherhood, but still in God. Not in whatever reward you're seeking on earth or in circumstances or with your children, but really find like reward in knowing God, in experiencing Him in a different way because of being a mom. And so I think you really do have to pray and ask God to help you, because it's not easy to do if you don't naturally really love it. But God can do it because He's powerful, and I'm a testimony to that. It doesn't really matter what your temperament or your natural leanings are. If God has called you to something, He will provide for you whatever you need. He will give you the grace to walk in a way that honors Him. And when you struggle and you sin and you fight and you, you know, wrestle with Him in it, like, He's the one that's faithful. He will keep growing you. He will keep drawing you to Himself. He will call you to repentance. All of those things. I mean, it's just like anything else in the Christian life.
I mean, thinking back to when we sat out there and you said, I'm never having kids. I was surprised, but I didn't feel incredibly alarmed, mainly because by that point I knew if you saw what God wanted in Scripture, you would come under that. And it has been encouraging to watch over the years, not only at the beginning as we went into marriage, but since then, that's been true. And I think for anyone listening, some of you love motherhood so much and praise God. Great.
And if you are one who has that natural God-given love for being a mom, and, you know, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. You can help us. You know, those who struggle a little bit more, I think sometimes in our culture and stuff, you can feel like you have to apologize almost if it comes a little more natural, or you really have wanted that. And it's like, no, don't be embarrassed by it. Don't be feel guilty for it. Just praise God for it. It's such a blessing. But don't make it everything.
Yeah. And if on the other hand, you're someone who has struggled to embrace your calling as a mother and maybe felt the loss of freedoms and have thought it a very steep sacrifice, maybe have become a bit jaded by it, just struggled with it, whatever may have been the case in the past in your thinking in this area, may God help us all now by His grace to think this way.